Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
To start this Thursday on the Savage Nation, the great Duke Ellington. Then we're going to go to something else and something else and something else.
Heart and soul.
It is the Savage Nation. Combination doo-wop, jazz. I'm in a 50s mood. You know, I really hate 2007. Why must I love every year? Is that like a liberal thing that all years are equal? Moral equivalence between years? 2007 has been a rotten year for me. What's the worst year of my life so far? Never thought about it that way. What's the best year of my life so far? Give me a little Mel Allen. It's a high fly boy. I want to go back to my childhood. That's it. I want to live in the past.
It is gone.
Oh, thank you, Mel. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Walking around with a transistor radio, crew cut haircut, a little kid with corduroy pants, innocent, no sexual feelings, nothing. All that was on my head was baseball. But now it's a different story. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? There's so many problems. Who asked for this? I should disappear into the ethers. White Hat, West Palm Beach, Jupiter. Maybe I should go to Jupiter instead of Jupiter, Florida. You know that most of America walks around like they don't even know what's going on. They don't know where Iran is. If you said Iran, Ahmadinejad, Hitler, they wouldn't know if you were talking about a baseball team or if you were talking about science fiction. They go to malls. All they want to do is jingle bells. Can you blame them? It's the way most people are, actually, when you think about it. So why can't I be like most people? Answer, because I never was. I've always had the weight of the world on my shoulders. Even when I was a little kid in the Bronx, they said, that one has the weight of his shoulders, the weight of the world on his shoulders. That one has the weight of the world on his shoulders. That one. They always said that one. Can you play See the USA in a Chevrolet with Donna? What's her name? Donna Reed. I want to hear See the USA. That's all.
USA in your
That's
Chevrolet. America is asking you to call.
That's when there still was a Chevrolet.
America's the greatest land of all.
And they made the, turn it off already. That's another time. You know, it's like Gillette, Friday Night Fights. Everything was different. It was a different world. So 2007 hasn't been too great for me. I wouldn't say horrible, okay? Horrible is death. Horrible is a family member dying. Horrible is a dog getting run over by your own car in the driveway. Horrible is... the doctor tells you you have bowel cancer and 6 months to live. Horrible is an emergency room. So I'm not complaining, don't get me wrong. But I am in my own way. I am in my own way. You see the latest story out here? Bush comes up with a mortgage plan that will freeze certain subprime interest rates for 5 years. Now, on the face of it, you say, wow, how compassionate. A three-pronged solution to stem the flow of mortgage foreclosures. Now, let me ask you something. How many of these who are about to go into foreclosure are illegal aliens? Has anyone asked that question but me? Answer, no. The government, as you well know, was forcing banks to lend to people who were not only illegal aliens, but unqualified for a mortgage. And if they didn't lend, if the banks didn't lend the money to people who didn't qualify, they were going to be sued by various divisions of the U.S. government. Now they're about to go belly up, and who's going to bail them out? The very same government that said you must lend money to them. Now who's going to pay for the bailout? You and I. You and I. Now, what about stronger lending standards? Like when I was young and I wanted to get a mortgage, I couldn't afford one. They wouldn't give me one. Why? Because I couldn't qualify. Why couldn't I qualify? I didn't have sufficient income. Therefore, I couldn't buy a house. But you see, everything's changed in the new PC America. And so you have a socialist light government that said to banks for years, you lend money to illegal aliens or we will sue you. In fact, you can't even ask the so-called citizenship status of a potential borrower, or will sue you for racism. So the banks were over a barrel. They said, but. The government said, we'll give it to you in the you-know-what, unless you lend it to the illegal alien, and unless you lend it to people who don't qualify. So now we have a so-called subprime crisis, and no one's talking about it. So Michael Savage again asks the question it's a question no one is going to ask. How many of these people in a subprime mortgage crisis are illegal aliens? How many of these people are those that banks were forced to lend to? But it doesn't stop Bush in clip 31 from telling us we have to pay for it. Listen.
Some lenders made loans that borrowers did not understand, especially in the subprime sector.
Well, hold on. Some lenders made loans that borrowers didn't understand? Is the president fooling you? What's there not to understand? Now he's taking the side of the people who they were forced to lend money to. Could you do me a favor and explain to the audience through music why I said 2000 is a very bad year? And so in order to do that, you have to play three things for me in this order. You have to play Mel Allen, you have to play Johnny Philip Morris, and then you have to come back to me with a doo-wop song. Go ahead, see if you can do that.
Drive hits the deep right field. That ball is going. It is gone.
Come in, Berlin. Secret message. Come in, Berlin. Berlin, come in. Berlin, calling Berlin. This is a secret coded message to the right wing in America. It's dip, 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 dip. If you read the first letter of each word and reverse them with lemon juice, you'll see what I'm actually saying. Come in, Berlin. Berlin, come in. Crazy leftists. They actually keep saying, turn this off. I don't go for this. I don't go for it. Now, the first mortgage that this family ever got was my father in 1954 or 5. He bought a house for $14,500 in Queens, New York. And the mortgage, you had to put down, I think, 20 or 25% at the least in those days, right? So what did he have to put down, like $3,000? It was a lot of money in those days. And then he took out a mortgage, and then he paid off the house. He had to qualify for the mortgage, and if he couldn't qualify, they wouldn't have given it to him. And he paid off the house, and that was the end of it. In those days, my father wouldn't buy a car on time because he said that was cheating. Can you imagine the thoughts of those guys in those days? A mortgage you had to pay off because who had cash to pay a whole house off? Nobody. Unless you worked for some people on a certain street that you ate spaghetti on. But the fact is, nobody really that we knew had those kind of cash in the wallpaper in Belrose, Queens. So we didn't, and you had to take a mortgage. But the fact of the matter is, a car was another story. You bought a used car and you paid cash. Why? Because if you bought it on time, you were cheating. And you couldn't really afford it, and you were a faker. That means 99.9% of the people on the road today wouldn't have a car. I mean, you got to be crazy not to pay a car off, you know? So where am I going with this? Wherever you want to go. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com has the pledge form where I need your help. But I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to beg. Global warming vote on snowy day in Washington. Why? Because Barbara Boxer has to be either the most foolish person to have ever been born in Brooklyn, New York, or the biggest fraud to ever been born in Brooklyn, New York, or there's something has to explain how a global warming vote on snowy day in Washington could pass Congress. Well, it was actually a committee run by Senators John Warner and Joe Lieberman. I mean, it's shocking. It's embarrassing. Snow on the trees, winter as usual, the biggest ice pack in recorded history in Antarctica. Ice cores that have been removed from 1.2 miles below the Arctic by international teams showing by DNA remnants the Earth was much warmer millions of years ago. It's unbelievable to me. That's why I'm going to Las Vegas. I decided to accept the invitation. I'm going to the fight. I am going to see the fight of the year, maybe the fight of the decade. You can't get seats. They're $15,000 apiece. Luckily, I know someone who had a couple of tickets. I think the restaurants are going to be sold out, so I'm going to have to get a can of beans for the apartment. I'll be right back. Savage. Now, there's another big topic that all the people are yakking about, which is the faith of Mr. Romney that he's a Mormon. I don't understand why they're so concerned. You know, I think a person's faith is their own business. I'm very uncomfortable with them grilling him on it. I know where this is coming from. It's coming from atheists who don't have any faith whatsoever, and they're trying to make the issue of faith an issue. Well, I think it's a very dangerous precedent, number one. Number two, what do you care what a person's faith is? Why is it your business? Why is this so important? I have never met a Mormon I didn't like. Never. And you say, well, you never met a Mormon. That's not true. In the early years, when I was a consultant, I was a consultant in the vitamin and herbal business. I traveled to Salt Lake City on a regular basis. I worked with Mormon people who were large. They were dominant in the herbal business back when I did it. They were some of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. They, you know, we'd go to dinner. They didn't drink, so they didn't drink. I had a beer. They didn't have a beer. So what? Other than that, I didn't ask them what their view of heaven was. They didn't ask me what my view of heaven was. I didn't ask them what their view of the other place was. And they didn't ask me what my view of the other place was. To me, that's a matter of personal faith. It's the faith of their fathers. Why don't you respect it? You know, we had a guy named Jimmy Carter. For God's sakes, this guy, I think his family shook snakes and they drank arsenic. Did that bother you that one of them said he met his particular Lord in the living room? I didn't ask whether he was wearing a white sheet or a green sheet. It didn't bother me. He was just a rotten president, a weakling, and a quasi-socialist. But that's what really bothered me was his politics, not his religion. Do you want to talk about Mormonism? Do you think that's an appropriate topic? I don't. As a matter of fact, you know, talk about the fact I'm going to Vegas to the fights. I told you the last time I was in Vegas at the fight, I was sitting like the third row back. And behind me, a little bit above me, was Harry Reid, and I noticed him. And I went up to him during one of the breaks, and I said, hello, Mr. Reid. Senator Reid, my name is Michael Savage, and I saw he didn't snap. I said, I'm the radio guy. He said, yes, of course. He was very polite. And I don't know how it got to it. Something about children. Immediately, this was within 1 minute. I said, I'm here with my son. He said, oh, very nice. How many children do you have? I said, two. And I said, how many children do you have? He said, five. I said, are you of the Mormon faith? And I saw then he got a little, you know, defensive in his face. He said, yes, I am. I said, it's a great faith, and I've met many Mormon people I like. And that's all it was. I think I said, I really don't know what people are so upset about with Mormonism right now. I said it to him months ago. I said, I don't really care what a person's view of heaven is. Now, why are people afraid of Mormons? Does anyone understand this? I don't understand it. John, Kansas City, go ahead, please.
I think the trouble is that a lot of people don't understand the history of Mormonism, and that one of the prophecies that Joseph Smith and some of their early prophets stated was that America would be run by Mormons, and that the country would be holding on by a thread, and the Constitution would snap, so to speak, and Mormons would save the day, and that this would become a theocratic state run by Mormons. And I think that, you know, maybe a lot of people don't realize that, but that's part of the doctrine that a Mormon's not going to tell you the first time they meet you once they indoctrinate.
So in other words, the liberals are more afraid of radical Mormonism than they are of radical Islam.
Well, that might be true, but that's
The radicals are afraid of not Islamism, but Mormonism? It's crazy to me. They're more terrified of poor Romney? Mitt Romney's father was the governor of Michigan, wasn't he?
I have no idea.
See? No one knows. Yes, he was the governor of Michigan. Hello? So far as I remember, Mitt Romney's father was the father was the governor of Michigan. Correct me if I'm mistaken. I like Romney so far. I know he's, you know, a politician. He's been all over the map on various issues. But let me tell you something. If it's a choice between a Christian like Romney or Romney who was a Christian of the Mormon variety and the quasi-Bolshevik Hillary Clinton and the questionable Barack Obama Indonesia Muslim father, but I'm really a Catholic, something tells me I'll take Romney. I'll put the hands of the nation in Romney's hand first. But again, I really would rather not even know about this. These are things I'd rather not know about. And I'm embarrassed that we're talking about this, you know. Waco, Texas. What a great place to call from. George, go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. I'm just calling. I think I agree with that last guy. The media is just trying to bring him down because I myself am an agnostic. I'm not very religious. But to me, Mitt Romney is like the best candidate out there. I've seen him on television. I've seen him on some of the debates.
I'll tell you why I think Romney's going to win. I have analyzed the last six presidential elections, and I've said for years, whoever has more hair wins. Now, there's a caveat in that. He has more hair than anyone on the male side, but there was never a female in the mix. And if she wins, it will uphold my theorem because it will prove once again that whoever has more hair wins. I mean, we may as well be talking about their hairstyles as much as their religion. I don't see this as a biggie, truthfully. Can you please leave the poor Mormons alone? They're nice people. What has a Mormon ever done to hurt you? Can anyone explain to me what Mormons, why they scare you? What is wrong with you people? What is it about Mormons that scare the average person? Gavin, KNEW, go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Listen, what that guy said is a flat-out lie. There's nowhere in the Mormon doctrine that says that one day some guy is going to come in and save the country and it's going to be a Mormon. I've been a Mormon. I've been practicing Mormon for 27 years. I went on a mission to Peru. I know the doctrine. Nowhere does
right.
it say that.
They're great people. They're missionaries. They're wonderful people. Is it true that all Mormons don't drink? I mean, is that part of the religion?
Well, it's one of the things that we promote for our health.
All right, so there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I myself have a beer about every hour after the show, but that's not my religion. Thank you for the call.
Savage.
All right, so we already covered the sagging housing market, and I've asked the only question that's worth asking, which is how many of these people in mortgage trouble are illegal aliens? Answer, the government won't tell you because they forced the banks to grant mortgages to people without regard to their immigration status. Okay? How many of the people who are now in trouble with mortgages should never have been granted a mortgage because they couldn't qualify? Answer, we'll never know because the government forced banks to grant mortgages to anybody, particularly people who couldn't qualify. So let's not blame the banks and the mortgage industry. The government is responsible for this mess, if anyone is. Now they want us to pay and bail them out? It's unbelievable to me. And we are talking about the faith of Mr. Romney, that he is a Mormon, and that so many bigots are afraid of this. And I've said to you, I've met Mormon people, I've had business dealings with Mormon people, I've never had a bad experience. They're very fine people, and I don't know why this is an issue. I just don't. WOR New York, Adam, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. How do you do? I'm Jewish. I'm an Army reservist. I go to an Orthodox shul. I cut corners myself. But anyway, when I was in Kuwait, I temporarily served with a unit from Utah, reserve unit from Utah. We were like, you know, Civil War units from states and all that. And these people are so family-oriented. They go to church several times a week. And when I was with them, they found out I was Jewish because, you know, I was with the one Jew, these people, mostly Mormon, and we talked endlessly about God, about Bible, about Old Testament. I mean, I have some yeshiva background, so I talk about it, and they were just fascinated by all this. And I did tell them, look, I don't believe Jesus is Messiah. I just believe in Shiach, who did not come yet. And they were kind of accepting because I believed it thoroughly, and they can understand.
But you have believed the Messiah hasn't come yet, and they, of course, don't believe that. Now, what was their reaction to your belief?
Their reaction was, I can't read people thoroughly, of course, but their reaction was they were expecting.
Are you saying you didn't encounter any bigotry in the unit you served with?
No, I did not.
You probably would encounter more bigotry in Manhattan from atheists and the quasi-socialists than you would from the Mormons.
Oh, my God, Michael, yes, that is true, because they understand. I tell these Mormons I pray three times a day. I go to shul, I say brachas before I eat, and I get married, and I have kids mindfully, and I raise them to be Jews mindfully, and they can relate to that. They can also relate to a group of people who are, like, misunderstood.
Right. Well, I like Mormons, you know, and to me, if they keep this up, I'm going to start bringing up the religion of Bill Clinton, hello, with the stage Bible. The religion of Jimmy Carter with the snakes and the arsenic. I mean, what are they doing here? Why are they on a guy over this? Thanks for the call. That's all. Sacramento, California. James, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was just wondering if it's such a big deal that Mitt Romney's a Mormon. Why isn't the media upset and asking the same questions of Harry Reid? He's a Mormon. He's been in public office for years.
Oh, look what just came out. I can't believe this. I don't believe it in my hometown. I can't believe it. KGO host Bernie Ward indicted on child porn. Self-described progressive and former Catholic priest surrendered to federal authorities. Oh, Bernie. Oh, Bernie, I hope this isn't true. I've always detested you because you're a pig, but I had no idea that a man with five children would be. I don't believe this. Oh, my God. Here is a guy. Bernie Ward, I pray to God that this is false. KGO nighttime talk host Bernie Ward, self-righteous left-wing radical, former military affairs, by the way, as far as aide to Barbara Boxer, all-around hater of Republicans, all-around hater of Michael Savage, a pig of a man who stood in my way from the day I started in radio and tried to throw every impediment in my way. Of course, now I'm a giant and he's simply stuck in first gear here, but that's okay. Indicted in federal court on two counts of child pornography using the internet. I hope he hasn't been set up. I really hope to God that he has not been set up. I really do. I really don't know if there's any truth to this. This is frightening. Does anyone know who I'm talking about, Bernie Ward? Is there a listener here in the Bay Area who knows the self-described progressive and this guy who runs a show called God Talk? Former Catholic priest. I feel terrible if this is true for his children. Because when I was a local host here in San Francisco, the kids were little kids. They were the nicest kids on earth. And all I asked myself was, as the kids would be brought into the studio in a show, see, I used to come into the studio, and he was there on the other glass. He would curse me on the air. He'd try to incite me into violence. I remember those days. And I have people in radio business who know what went on. Bill, you know that. You were in the other booth, too, and you told me not to react to it, not to have my chain pulled, and I didn't. He said, Michael, you'll go way beyond these creeps. Indicted on child porn, self-described progressive and former Catholic priest surrendered to. That is so ugly. But the point was is that when his kids would be in there, I'd see these beautiful kids, and I would say, how in the world could this man be so what he is? When these children grow up, when they're 15, 16, they're going to be really confused by their father's politics. My heart really goes out to the children. I hope he's innocent, okay? I pray to God he's innocent. But if you've ever listened to this guy's show and how he attacks family values, how he attacks the church, how he has always attacked the church and family values, the military, the police, I cannot believe this. Does anybody know who I'm talking about, or should I stop this right now? Nobody knows who. KNEW, San Francisco. David, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael. I used to listen to Bernie Ward just to see. He used to be so radical that I just couldn't believe his show sometimes, especially in the morning sometimes with God Talk. And it's, you know, I'm not shocked, but I don't want to say I'm glad that he's been indicted. But, you know, I think he had it coming to him.
Well, you can't take pleasure in a thing like this. The allegations include both possessing and forwarding child porn. The one-time seminarian and frequent cable talk blowhard was to be arraigned earlier today, photographed and fingerprinted. I don't know if this man would have fingerprints. He was expected to plead not guilty to the charges. The longtime evening host was notified yesterday by Citadel ABC management that he has been removed from the station's schedule, effective immediately. Whether he'll be able to return is unknown at this time, but his page has not yet been removed from KGO's website. He did not host Wednesday's program. This man has spent his entire political career as an operative of the Democrat Party, moreover of the far left wing of the Democrat Party, and moreover as an operative of Barbara Boxer. Ward, age 56, has not responded to an email request for comment from the website The Radio Equalizer, no friend of mine, by the way, and we'll have to wait and see. I pray to God that, you know, this is not true. I really do. He is a local host, so most of you never heard of him, but in 1995, ABC attempted to syndicate him nationally because a moron was running ABC syndication. I told him he'd flop. The show went nowhere. I, of course, was syndicated not by ABC, but by Talk Radio Network, and the show was a giant hit. ABC could have syndicated me when I was local, but for political reasons, they chose to shoot themselves in the foot. That's the kind of decisions the ABC management has made for years and years, which is why ABC stock is now $2 instead of $9. Oh, God. I can't believe this. I can't believe this. Longtime Bay Area talk show's Bernie Ward has been indicted on two federal internet child pornography charges. KGO quoted Ward's criminal attorney, Doran Weinberg, as saying that Ward was researching child pornography for a book 4 years ago when events occurred that may have led to the charges. That could be true. That could be true. There is no reason to believe he's guilty. You know, I got to tell you something. A lot of these charges could be false. What happens if he went on one site to research a show and then they said he was, you know, transferring this? Something's wrong here. I don't know. He has children. I don't really know if I believe this. I detest the man's politics, but I don't detest the man. I'm a better Christian than he is, by the way. Sacramento, California. Gail, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. I'm a Roman Catholic. I'm 61 years old. I definitely relate to your era and to our era.
My era? What era did I make?
Our era. E-R-A.
I'm joking. I know you're from, you don't speak like I do. You're not from a New Yorker.
No, I'm not, but I will end up talking like you before we're finished, because I do that. Anyway.
You see, you said I'm not from your era.
Oh, yeah.
From your era. Era. I thought you said my era. The eras of my ways. I know, the era. I would say era. So someone say, what's wrong with your era? What's the matter? You can't hear her?
Can't hear her. No.
Yeah, what's the matter with your era? You can't hear her? So what's your main point?
So my main point is all of this left-leaning in the church happened back in the middle 60s with Vatican II. A lot of the priests left. A lot of the priests got married. A lot of the homosexual factions became more and more prevalent in the church. Not to say that Bernie is, but, you know, he left, he got married. He's got five kids. I don't know about the child porn thing. I feel really bad about that. But you
That's
know
right. We have to feel bad for this guy because of the children.
Exactly.
I pray to God that it was a setup or a mistake for the children. You know what I'm saying?
I agree, Michael.
It's terrible. It's just terrible. Now, here's the latest. This just came out. His lawyer blames Bush. I swear to God. His lawyer has just blamed. I can't. I got to get this as fast as I can. I just lost the connection. What happened? I'm getting the feedback here. I can't get it. Indicted on child, learned that Ward, a married father of four, could face up to 5 years in prison. Blah, 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 blah. His lawyer said what? In a statement released, KGO operations director Jack Swanson told the radio, Bernie Ward has been a valuable, blah, blah, blah. I got to get Jack on the show. On KGO, his liberal rantings have found a following in the nation's most left-leaning region. But of course, he never made it nationally because he was so disconnected from reality, in my opinion, that it couldn't play. You got to understand, it doesn't matter if you're a liberal or progressive, but fundamentally you have to have brains. And fundamentally you have to have an IQ. That's the problem with this guy. He didn't have either. Kirk, KNEW, welcome to the show.
Yeah, Michael. It doesn't surprise me in some ways. God forbid, I hope it is wrong. But, you know, the guy over the years has been a bag of wind. He's in some ways bought the
Hold on, hold on. Listen to this. Can you hear this? Is this going out on the air? Listen.
I'm really shocked and disappointed.
This is lawyer.
Filed. It's very upsetting. Bernie is a very soulful person.
Can you hear this?
Person. He has a good heart. He's a family man. He's got four kids. He's put them all through Catholic school. His wife is wonderful, Colleen. She's a pediatrician. And I just think that when all the facts are out on these charges, that Bernie will be completely vindicated.
Have you been able to speak to him since this happened?
I talked to him a few times on the run, and I didn't have a chance to talk in much detail about it.
Do you know his demeanor, though? I mean, is he fired up about this and wanting to fight back?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's upset, as you can imagine. And Bernie being who he is, you know, he's always very eloquent, very charged up, and very passionate. And I'm sure that he'll respond in a very articulate manner.
And there was some discussion that we're hearing that this was all due to a book that he was writing and doing some research. Do you have any information about that?
Well, that's my understanding, and I don't know too much more about it than that.
Okay, but I mean, is there a possibility that they're going after him and making him a scapegoat or anything like that?
Well, that it's hard to avoid that conclusion. I mean, that does spring to mind. He's a very vocal anti-Bush administration talk show host who has a wide audience and a big reach, especially at night.
KGO, please. What do you mean a big reach?
And
He's a small fish in a small pond, mouthpiece.
For certain, of course, I have no inside knowledge of that, but it's just hard to avoid that conclusion sometimes.
Oh my God. It seems,
from what we're hearing, this is like 4 years ago, and unless something new has happened...
All right, turn off the creek. Let me turn off that MP3 player. So there it is, the mouthpiece. What a lawyer he has. With a lawyer like that, he doesn't need an enemy. That's all I can say. She's starting already. Bush did it to him. Oh, boy. I guarantee you that he's in trouble if this is the best he can do in the legal arena to use that as an excuse. He was writing a book, and Bush already busted him. Bush downloaded it into his house. Now, Cheney did it. Wait, no, Nixon did it. Nixon's not really dead. Nixon came out of the crypt and downloaded the child porn into his house. That's who did it. Look how far these so-called progressives will go. Can't they say, I hope he's innocent, and let it go at that? Why must they blame Bush for everything? Are they crazy? Anyway, I'm going to the boxing match in Las Vegas. This is unbelievable. Wow. Is Kirk still on the line on line one? Kirk, are you still there?
I am.
Go ahead. Quickly, give us a minute or less on this talk show host indicted on child porn just now.
Pictures. Why couldn't he have done his research at a police station where they actually have records of these cases?
I don't know. His lawyer can answer that one.
You're sure she can.
Maybe it was better research if you can do it in your pajamas. I don't know.
Maybe it was the Republican they arrested in the bathrooms at the airport. They can blame it on him.
I don't know. Somebody else did it. Terrible, terrible, terrible thing. I feel terrible for the children. See, this is the problem here. He's got five beautiful children. But if you've ever heard this guy's show, you wouldn't be surprised. So let's go back to Faith. No, I'd rather talk about this, because I told you, Lin Yutang, my favorite Chinese-American author, saved me when I was 18 years old. You don't know that story. I was going through my sufferings of young Wertha phase, you see. It was the woe is me phase. Oh, how can I continue in this cruel, harsh world? When in a friend's house, in his father's library, I discovered a book called The Importance of Living by Lin Yutang. And I perused it, and the more I read, the better I felt. And the part that got to me was the dust jacket copy, which said that Lin Yutang, who has culled centuries of Chinese philosophy, has concluded that happiness consists not in ascending to the angels, but happiness consists in getting your hair cut every 2 weeks and watching your neighbor fall off the roof. I laughed hysterically, meaning that the ordinary in life is where the divine is. The more you seek the divine, the less you're going to find it. The more you seek the norm, the middle road, the better your chances are of achieving happiness, and that meant getting your hair cut every 2 weeks and watching your neighbor fall off the roof. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, my neighbor has just fallen off the roof. I'll be right back.
Savage. We'll be right back.
It is the Savage Nation. What a terrible story just hit the top of the news cycle here. Those of you in radio know who I'm talking about. Those of you outside the small, progressive, left-wing, whack job, San Francisco area, never heard of this guy. But those within the confines of this little suburb called San Francisco, this little small town that thinks it's bigger than it is, has a very, very left-wing guy, extremely violently left-wing, hates family values, hates Bush, hates Republicans, hates the military, hates the police, used to work for Barbara Boxer, so far as I know, as a military, I don't know what he did for her, but totally anti-police, anti-military, takes every opportunity he can to attack everything that we stand for here on the Savage Nation, borders, language, and culture. A so-called progressor. Progressive. Shall I say progressor? Maybe that's better. Maybe we should call progressives progressors. It sort of combines progressive with aggressor and stalker. So we're going to call progressives progressors now. Former Catholic priest talks about God in a derogatory manner. Indicted on child porn. Surrendered to federal authorities. Now, I got to repeat again. I pray to God he's innocent. I pray it's a mistake or a setup. I really mean it. And I'll tell you why. It's for the children, not for him, because this will destroy a family. KNEW, my hometown, San Francisco. Mark on KNEW, what's on your mind, sir?
Michael, it is a pleasure to talk with you. I've listened to you since you were on KGO 14 years, and I'm still listening to you today. I almost drove off 280 because you made me laugh so hard when you brought this subject up. But I wanted to remind you of two things. When you used to work back at KGO, that you had a special nickname for Bernie Ward, and that was the Reich Marshal.
Yeah, well, he used to insult me. When I went on the air, he used to say that I can hear the white sheets rustling in the other room. I really wanted to strangle him for that, to call me a Nazi. I thought he was the worst pig I ever met in my life. So I used to then get even with him, and I say, I see the Reich Marshal has gotten up from his leather chair, because he looked like a mini Goring.
He would leave the
and I think he also shared something in common with Adolf, which was a single you-know-what. This is the Savage Nation. Be here for fun.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I see a little girl of five or six or seven. I can't resist a joyous urge to smile and say thank heaven for little girls.
This song is dedicated to my colleagues in the local San Francisco market who may be in shock right now that their biggest mouthpiece has been taken away in handcuffs.
In the most delightful way.
Let's pray it was little girls. Oh, my God. Let's stop it. Hold it. We may be off here. We may be one gender off. Wait a minute. Let's stop right here. Let's cut this out. Oh, God, this is horrible. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm not going to go into it. It would be beneath me to dwell on this any further. But if anyone would like to talk about the so-called progressive, anti-Bush, anti-Republican, anti-conservative, anti-military, anti-police, anti-Bernie Ward, who was just arrested for child porn. Would you please call me? And again, I want to say this. In this country, a man is innocent until proven guilty, number one. And I mean this. You got to understand I mean it. And number two, it could be a setup. It could be a mistake. And he has five beautiful children. And they are the most important thing to the most important people to remember right now. Forget him. Think of his family, okay? But if you want to talk about this, go ahead. I'll tell you how I would make this a national topic. Sure, in a way, I'm gloating that it's him, of all people. You know what I'm saying? Because this guy stood in my way from the minute I wound up as a fill-in host 15 years ago. He was so jealous of my talent and tried to stand in my way. All right, truthfully. But you know something? We live in a very dangerous age, and I've said to you, we're all one mistake away from being arrested in this country. Is there anyone out there who's an expert on computers? Is it possible somebody could have sent him an image or loaded something into his computer that, oh, let's forget him. Could a person, an innocent person, have porno loaded into their computer and not having done it themselves and be set up on a charge? I want to know that. I want to know that. I mean, I want to know what risk anybody is in here, in this crazy, you know, dog-eat-dog, your neighbor trying to set you up kind of world. Austin, Texas. Lucas, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. I just, when I heard the defense of this man, Bernie Ward, was going to use, I was reminded that we had heard that before from a gentleman by the name of Pete Townsend from The Who, and it did work for him. Not to say that he was actually guilty of the crime, but given that this man, Bernie Ward, is a radical liberal, it doesn't really say much for his integrity status, does it?
Well, how many ACLU heads have been arrested over the last 2 years for worse than this? You know, many of them are in jail. All of these ACLUers, if you look carefully, are connected very deeply to this kind of activity. Something's under the surface here. But I would like to know from a computer expert what's at stake here. KNEW, San Francisco. Carl, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, I too listen to you. I remember you were only on in the weekends on this three-liter station with Bernie. And Bill Wattenberg, and in the evening, I can remember you had the same guns going off and everything back then. You know, it sounds like
same opening. It started 15 years ago. I was a fill-in host and a weekend host, and he hated me. He hated me not only for my politics, but he was also jealous of my talent. And he went out of his way to say things about me that were really crazy. And I was told by Bill, don't react to it on the air. Don't get dragged into this fight. You're going to be very big in your career. I can tell you, you're going to be big. He'll always be stuck here. He did say that to me. Thanks for the call. Paul in Oregon. Chris is a computer expert on this issue of child porn or pornography in general. And I want to know more about it. Chris, KXL, welcome to the Savage Nation. Can people set you up on these charges?
Well, sir, it is possible to have files in general downloaded on your computer without knowing, especially if you don't have any kind of antivirus, a firewall, for example. There are all kinds of programs, especially associated with file sharing programs. Stuff will end up on your computer that you, unless you're looking for it, you won't know to remove it.
Oh, my God. So if a person goes on a legitimate porno site, and there are many, there are thousands of them, are you telling me that a virus can be used to inject child porn into your computer?
There is a type of virus category known as a downloader, specifically. Without getting into every single specific one, you can associate any file to it. And yes, oftentimes, porn, legitimate adult porno sites will attempt some to engage to put malicious software on your computer.
Isn't that amazing? So anybody listening to this show should know that even, well, what if they don't go on a porno site, just having a computer on? Can somebody who's out to get you invade your computer with such a virus?
Well, you definitely would want to always have an antivirus, one that's reputable, keep your stuff updated. File sharing programs especially, stay away from them. Those create big holes.
What is a file? You know, I'm kind of a computer illiterate. What's a file sharing program, Chris?
Well, I don't know if I can name an example, but maybe Kazaa. That's a file sharing program where it's considered a peer-to-peer network where everyone, quote unquote, shares a file. But you know, it's people download all their music for free. It's who the record companies are trying to go after now.
Okay. Oh, I see. You mean like that kind of thing, and then you don't know what you're going to get with it.
Correct.
Oh, my God. Look at the world we live in. It's like so many pitfalls in this world. Let's hope it's a mistake and he didn't do it. That's all I can say. Thanks for the call. San Diego Don, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I just wanted to say one thing. If it was so easy to download something into someone's computer, don't you think that the radical liberals would have done it to you?
I don't know. I don't know what they're capable of. I know they're trying to destroy me at every turn. I know that. Anything's possible.
It is. It is. And, you know, if they could have done it, they would have done it to you already.
Anyway, God forbid. God forbid that should have happened. I have enough trouble fighting with this lawsuit right now. I have enough trouble on my hands trying to raise enough money for it. The lawyer says he was researching for a book. Now, first she blamed Bush. The latest is his lawyer is saying that the Ward was researching child porn for a book. Can you believe this?
It's crazy. Now, it's you know what kind of person he is.
I really don't know what kind of person he is. I mean, he's got five beautiful children. That's all I know about him. I mean, other than looking like a Hermann Göring and acting like Piggy in Animal Farm, I don't know much about the man personally. 1-8, could you play something for? My God, this is horrible. Harry Reid is a Mormon. How come his Mormonism has never become an issue? That's a great question. They're making Mormonism an issue with Romney, who was a very fine man. He stood up for his faith. He said, it's the faith of my fathers. And if it crashes my presidency, he said, so be it. You got to love the guy for this. Can't you leave him alone? Here's a therapist on cybersexual therapy. What is this? Julie in Montana, go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I sure support your lawsuit.
Let me use an old line from vaudeville. Don't applaud, just throw the money.
Okay.
What's on your mind, Julie? Well, I'm joking. What's on your mind, Julie?
I've had a couple of situations. No, most of the time where there's smoke, there's fire. But there are an occasional situations where someone will download a porno file, which may have 300-400 images. Some of those can be children.
So oh, my God. You mean a person goes on a legal adult site, and when the whole site is downloaded, there are child porno images on it?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. What a dangerous world.
Yeah. It is.
Oh, my God. So how would a person defend themselves in court with such a charge? That's not the question. Here's the question. A person goes on a legal adult porno site, which tens of millions of Americans do. Okay, let's be clear. Pornography is one of the most popular categories on the internet. And in downloading this site, they're getting images of children. How would anyone know that they went on that site?
They'll look at the number of images on the computer.
How would the FBI get to know that that person downloaded a child porn image?
There's all sort of mechanisms in place. There's all kind of sting operations. There's all kind of things in place.
Well, they say that he received a child porn images and sent it to someone. What does that mean?
Well, he could have I'm not a computer expert, but I deal with the addiction aspect and sex addiction. But
wow. Are there people addicted to internet porn?
Oh, big time. Huge.
And how do you get them off that?
Abstinent. Just like any other drug.
You mean you just tell them this is an addiction, you got to stop it?
And you do, you know, cognitive behavioral restructuring, and there's some medications. It's impulse control. Eventually, it becomes impulse control, and there's varying degrees of it.
Wow.
You know, but, yeah, typically,
wow.
You know.
See, this is the problem with a permissive society where anything is allowed, which is that people could innocently be drawn into something so dangerous and not even know it.
Absolutely.
You know. And that's why I say before we jump to celebrating it, you know, maybe the guy made a mistake and he didn't even download child porn. It could have been, let's say he went onto another site and it came down on it, right?
That could be. Yeah, that could be.
You know, wow. Okay, thanks for the call. I'll be right back. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing, said Edmund Burke, who lived between 1729 and 1797. And I hope that you're good men and good women who will do something. And the thing I need you to do is to go onto michaelsavage.com tonight and look at all the articles on Saving Savage's show. The latest one is from the New York Daily News. The others come from WorldNet Daily, AIM.org, Andrew Durham. You got to read the articles. Then if you think that I deserve your help after you read the lawsuit, will you please make a donation? And if you think I'm anti-Muslim, I beg you to look at the transcripts of pro-Muslim comments that Savage has made over the years. And why don't you believe what you hear rather than what you read? Underneath that is a breaking story. Left-wing Big Mouth indicted on child porn. We've been talking about that. Under that, white woman beaten by 9 students who are black on a Baltimore bus. They're not calling it a hate crime because, as you well know, whites can only be perpetrators of hate crimes, never victims. Underneath that, you'll see another hate crime. A firefighter in Boston was stabbed in an attack by a pack of 6 Hispanics who said, "We don't want a gringo around here in Boston." Again, that's not being called a hate crime because everything is upside down in Alice in Wonderland. In Alice in Wonderland is an actual Alice named Senator Boxer who pushed a global warming bill during a heavy snowstorm. And there are other stories that I'm not going to reiterate right now. I'm out of steam already. I don't want to kill myself. A Muslim woman sues San Bernardino County for forcing her to remove her hijab while being booked. Not that she was booked falsely, but that she was forced to remove her sacred head covering. You hear? Everything's a racket. Everything's a racket. Suit alleges sheriff's deputies violated her rights by forcing her to remove her head covering when she was booked in 05. Now, what was she booked for? Doesn't matter. Who filed the complaint on behalf of Jamila Medina? The ACLU. Accused the county and the sheriff's department of breaching Medina's right to practice her religion. Now, what was she being booked for? I don't know, but that's not the story anymore. Now it's that she was forced to take off her sacred headscarf for religious reasons. The deputy threatened to delay Medina's release if she did not follow orders. Oh, my God. Well, what was she being booked for? We don't know. But we know that the ACLU will do anything they can to undermine the United States military and the police. And I don't know how this country can survive, but little by little, it goes along. There's another story I didn't get to. A police force in Wales is training its dogs to headbutt criminals rather than to bite them because the stupid police in Wales are afraid that allowing the dogs to bite criminals will infringe on the criminals' human rights. So they're teaching dogs to jump at criminals and not bite them, no, but to headbutt them. KNEW, San Francisco. Joe, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, real quick, as far as this Bernie Ward clown, I listen to him. He's a nut. Number two, and then I'll get off the radio. Why doesn't he just go to a child abuse center? Then he can go see all the hell that's created by these clowns who molest kids. That's it.
Well, there's an awful lot of ACLU lawyers who are now in jail for child pornography complaints. And there's something to it. There is definitely something to it. Mississippi, Robert, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Niche? Mr. Savage, I'm sorry. I just want to make a point. You know, Robert Heinlein in Starship Troopers made a good point about morality and the moral instinct of people in a society. And with this liberal idiot, you know, that just shows true to the liberal morality, right? The lack.
I hope he's innocent. I have to say that a man is innocent until proven guilty. I have to say that. Mike, KNEW, San Francisco, go ahead, please.
Yeah, the FBI can actually do a pretty good job of telling whether a person intentionally downloads child porn or not.
How? Let's say a guy goes on a legitimate porn site, which may be repugnant to my listeners, but millions of Americans do. How can the FBI be sure that the child images that may be loaded into that site, which we just learned about, were not accidentally thrown onto his computer?
Well, they can tell the record of which sites a person browses. People can clear that from their computer, but the servers that companies like Comcast or AOL or your service provider have actually keep records of the sites that you visit, and they can do a very good job of tracing where the source of the images is.
I see. So if the image came down on a legitimate site, the person basically has nothing to defend themselves. Let's put it that way.
They can have a good case to say, hey, I didn't do this intentionally, or if the FBI computer forensics guys find evidence of a virus or malware on your computer that's a downloader, then you have a strong defense. But invariably in these cases, what you see is that the source of the images are from these child porn sharing rings.
Ugh, disgusting. There's nothing worse. Savage. I'll be right back. It's a mad world. So I'm going to Las Vegas. And I'm going to the big fight Saturday night. I've agreed to go on the high carbon citation encore. I like the high carbon citations. Does anyone go on green planes? Does Gore fly on a green plane? There are no such things as green planes. Do you think Boxer is going to Bali on a green jet? No. There's no green jets. They're all about the same. Sure, if they were sun-powered, I'd be glad to fly one, but I don't think there are any sun-powered jets yet. So I'm looking forward to the high-carbon citation. But here's my problem. Are there any Las Vegas restaurant owners or managers who can get Michael Savage and friends a reservation for Saturday night? You can't get a reservation. To me, the fight's one thing, but I got to eat after that fight. And I'm sorry, you can't get any reservations anymore. It's sold out. First of all the English are there. Well, they don't eat. Wait a minute. They're going to want fish and chips, so they won't be a problem. But if there's anybody in Las Vegas who can get me a really good reservation, it's got to be Italian. I don't want Chinese in Las Vegas. I don't want any Asian fusion cuisine in Las Vegas. I don't want any French cuisine in Las Vegas. I want Italian food. Is there an Italian restaurant owner or manager who wants to call the Savage Nation right now? But you got to be from Las Vegas, not from New York. 1-800-449-8255. If you can get me a reservation, I'm going to plug your restaurant for free right now. I don't want a free meal because that's plugola. I'll pay. I always pay. I don't even want a free drink. All I want is a reservation in Las Vegas. All right, no callers, so we'll take calls on the other topics. Las Vegas, Nevada. Joe, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, the restaurant you want to go to is Casa de Amore.
Where is it?
It's a little hole in the wall off the strip. Look it up.
Yeah, but I'll never get in now that you mentioned that it's finished already.
Isn't it a beautiful irony, Mike, that all these years you've been worrying about getting tossed off the air and all these people have been waiting for you to make a mistake that'll get you tossed off the air and suddenly their poster boy gets the hook?
No, it's terrible. It's awful. I got to say, look, I hope it's a mistake because he does have, I think, I read Four Wonderful Children. So I don't know what really went on there, but there is a certain joy in watching your neighbor fall off the roof. I'm sure they were, most of my antagonists love the fact that I have trouble right now. You know that.
And that's why all your life you've been waiting to make a mistake, and then you're always saying on the air, you know, just one slip in this business and you're gone, you know.
Well, it's true. It's absolutely true. It's like a bad meal in a restaurant. You could have the best restaurant in the world, one food poisoning, and bingo, you know.
Absolutely right.
So hey, Joe, you live in Vegas?
Excuse me?
Do you live in Vegas?
Yes, sir. I'm a jeweler here.
Oh, you a jeweler? Where's your shop?
Over on up a little west of the strip.
Can you make me something? I mean, do you make stuff?
Absolutely. I've been in it for 30 years.
You have. I'll tell you what, Joe. Can you? We're going to put you on hold. Get his email address. I'll email him. If I get a minute, I'll go in there and have something made up like a Western thing. KDW, San Francisco. I can hardly say it anymore. Let me try it again. I got to stop this. I got to cure myself. Mary on KNEW in San Francisco. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I have teenagers in my household, two teenage boys, two teenage girls. And as you know, teenage boys wander around and they look at different things, and some things were downloaded onto the computer. And then we had pop-ups for a long time that even the girls got when they got on the computer, and it was a heck of a time for my husband to get that stuff dumped off.
Oh, so, your sons went on to the child. I'm sorry, your sons went on to porn sites.
They did go on to porn sites.
Well, so what? I mean, what are you going to do? Do you think it's the first time in history that a teenage boy went on a porn, looked at a porn magazine?
No, but my point is that then there were pop-ups that were coming up on the computer.
The invasion of the pop-up snatchers.
Get rid of it. And so, you know, and you're saying that he has four kids, and who knows, was it his computer at work? Was it home?
Oh, what you're saying is maybe one of his kids accidentally got it downloaded. God forbid.
That's what happened.
You mean inadvertently. You're saying inadvertently. That's a very interesting statement. That's amazing. I feel like throwing up now what could go on with the computer. In my day, you had to actually go out of your way to find pornography. I mean, other than the dentist, which everyone's uncle had in 8mm. That was the most famous reel that went around New York in those days, the dentist. 8mm, sketchy. But if you wanted porno in my day, you had to go like to Times Square, down into the subway in order to find. It wasn't around. It was very hard to find. It was on 8mm movie only in those days. Except forget about it. I mean, look, I'm a regular person, you know. I never said that I'm a saint. Did I ever tell you that story when my friend and I would go down to Times Square? I told you. I told you 100 times when we met the perverted chestnut salesman. Remember that? We went to the Museum of Natural History. We loved it. And we went to see the big diamond. You remember the meteorite, the big diamond, the brontosaurus? Those are my favorite things. But it was also the dioramas of, like, an island in the South Seas, up top of a mountain with a minor bird. I think those images in the museum sent me off on my course of collecting plants decades later. It was so exciting, the brown bear in the museum. I loved all of that stuff. The diamond room, the gems. But outside the Museum of Natural History, I could to this day remember on a winter's day, there was a guy, a chestnut salesman. Light snow, slush, cold, chestnut salesman. We go to buy chestnuts from him. They were always cooking like on a little brazier. And he'd always say, hey, boys, how are you? And we knew that the guy was a nut. And we'd go along with him. Hey, boys, you want to see pictures? You want to see pictures? Say, yeah. Where are they? We put them on. You got to come with me to my place. It's not far by subway, boys. You want to come? And we'd say, sure. We'd go. And we got him nuts. He closed down a thing, and then we'd basically, you know, ditch him there in the snow. But you say, we took advantage of him? That's what you liberals are thinking. You feel bad for the perv, not for me. You hear this? Today, they'd arrest that bum with the chestnuts together and the hot coals. Bay City, MI. Andy, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Michael, I just wanted to say thank you very much more than anything else. I don't really have anything profound to say by any means, but you've really changed the way I look at the world tremendously in the last year and a half. So,
what, you used to be rather liberal?
I grew up a liberal all my life. I had parents who were liberals, and I never realized how, I guess if you want to say
so that. Did I. I've said that 100 times. I came from an age of liberalism. My father was saved by the Works Progress Administration, the WPA, which were jobs created by the government to get the American people off the dole and into a job. He was a kid. He was an immigrant. He had no money. The government created work jobs for the people, and it saved America. You know that or not, Andy? But
no.
The world has changed today. The world has changed today. You know, I grew up in that whole world. He read the New York Post. I don't really know his politics. I know he was a left-winger, not a conservative. People have lied about me on Wikipedia about a lot of things. They said he grew up in a conservative home. It's not true. I grew up in a very good family values home. I guess that's a curse today to the liberal. I guess that's considered some kind of a blasphemy to grow up in a decent home. But that's their loss, not mine. But my dad was very left-wing because he used to say one thing to me all the time. He said, I don't really know a Democrat from Republican. He says, all I know is that when the Democrats are in power, it's better for the little guy. That's what he used to do. That was his mantra, that the Republicans are for the big business and for the rich guy, and the Democrats are for the little guy. That's what he said to me all through my childhood. Well, as I grew up, I found out that the reverse was true. You know, things have changed drastically. Trust me on that. And I'm not a big Republican, but believe me, given a choice, I know which way I'll vote. 1-800-449-8255. You can go on to michaelsavage.com and see the stories I have not covered. Right now, of course, we're shocked. Shocked, I tell you, that a left-wing big mouth has been indicted on child porn. Just shocked. Just shocked. Stunning. 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 You know, I wasn't even going to go on the air today. I woke up. I called into the studio. I said, you know, it's raining out here. I didn't want to, I can't do this anymore. I can't go on the air and talk about my struggles and I need the money and this and that. I don't want to do it anymore. It's not that I'm poor. It's that I need to create a defense fund. I can't do this on my own when they have unlimited money, a slush fund from the Middle East. But I said, you know, I'm tired of this topic already. Then I said, you know what? Let me go on and do 2 hours. First, I said, I'll do an hour. Then I said, I have the energy for 2 hours. Now this horrible thing came out here in my own backyard. My God. And I haven't had one call from Las Vegas. Why should I go even to a restaurant there and plug them? Not one restaurant person in Vegas has called and said, Mike, we love you. Come to our restaurant. I'll go to the one I like. You know, I went to a really interesting one. I don't remember the name of it. I once broadcast from Vegas. It was a couple of years ago from the public television station radio way out in the, near the airport. No, way out near the college. And all the way out on the way out to the college, there's a road going out there. One of the people who was my host said to me, the best Italian restaurant is a place off this highway that no one goes to but locals. And the strangest thing was is that when you drive by it, they have a sign cheering for a team in Ohio, which I found rather odd that a restaurant in Las Vegas would be cheering for an Ohio team. But look, I'm not a sports guy, so to me, one is the same. The pizza was unlike any pizza I've had in years. Here, everything is lean and cuisine and modernistic and minimalistic. Pizza doesn't even taste like pizza. The cheese doesn't even stink like mozzarella cheese should. The first time I ate mozzarella cheese, I thought someone puked in the room. Did you know that? You get used to anything. But I got to go way back to when I was a kid. Went to a cousin's house out of state. I never heard of a thing called pizza. Could you believe it? I come from Pizza America. I can't believe it. That's amazing. What a statement that is. I come from pre-Pizza America. So the whole family's together, and I'm upstairs in the attic, and they say, the pizza's here. I know what they were talking about. I thought someone puked in the kitchen. I had to hold my nose on the way down, and they were oohing and eyeing and staring at the cardboard. The dog was, like, hiding in the back. I couldn't eat the stuff. But that's what mozzarella cheese should smell like. You know that or not? Today, everything's been denatured. It's like low-carb beer. You don't even drink it. Everything's denatured. Nothing smells like food. Nothing tastes like food anymore, you know? Oh, I made a turkey last night after the show. Wow, I got to tell you, man, the dogs, whew, there's nothing like cooking at home. But I've been cleaning for 24 hours. No wonder no one cooks anymore. Between buying and cooking, and the oven cleaner had to be on all night. The oven, the special cleaner with fans. But the turkey, did I do a job? And it said 2 hours for a 7.5-pounder. It took me 3. But my best dish was the baked vegetable dish that I did. Nobody. I did turnips, sweet potatoes, carrots in a pan, covered with a little oil, salt and pepper. Oh, and a whole garlic. 4 1/4 at an hour, 70 minutes. I pulled it out where the potato was soft, mushy. Never mind eating a potato that's hard. Don't even see this way. You get a baked potato in a restaurant today, you can't even eat it because they don't have the time to cook it. The energy's too high. And if they give it to you, it's indigestible. The way to eat a potato is to cook it till it's mush inside the skin. Then you open it. What's this? Someone's recommending a restaurant, but they're not inviting me there, so why should I have them on? They're naming a restaurant, but they're not. Is that guy in line one offering me an invitation or not? No, all right, there we go again. I know exactly what I'm going to do. There's a place I like nearby. I'll do takeout. That's all. I'll call them up and do a takeout and pick up, and I can watch television instead of putting up with the waiter's insults. The food is excellent. Oh, they got a great marinara sauce. I got to tell you something, that Las Vegas has great food. You know that. I mean, I got to tell you that. With all the money that you'd figured, some of the best restaurants in the country. People say, oh, Las Vegas, the food isn't good. They don't know what they're talking about. From the big to the little, the food is great. I'm going to enjoy it. That's all one night. Out Saturday, back Sunday, boom, the fight. I'll report on it. Maybe I'll get some pictures with one of the people in the fight. I have the Klitschko pictures I never put up on the website. I wish I could take Teddy. But he'd be scared from the noise in a fight. I took a friend who hated it. He says, what do you like about this? It's two men beating each other in the head and the body. Why do you enjoy this? I said, it's not just about men who hit each other in the head and the body. There's a science here. Then the crowd is unbelievable. Oh, I turn the TV off. There's Mitt Romney about Mormonism. Please, Mitt, it's enough already. Stop explaining and apologizing. Please. I don't want to hear about any religion anymore. I'll be right back. Savage. Savage Nation, a shocking day, just shocking that a local left-wing progressive all-around pain in the neck who hates everything family-oriented and claims that he doesn't, was arrested on by the FBI, indicted and off the air. Unbelievable. Sad in a way. I hope it's false. I hope he was set up. I hope that it was a download problem. I do, for his children, because the children won't recover from this. I pray he's found innocent. I got to tell you the truth. I do. This is not good for the children. Also, I said I'm going on a high-carbon flight to Las Vegas on a citation on Saturday. We're on the high-carbon citation encore. And I asked for a reservation because I can't get a reservation in Las Vegas. On the line with me, luckily, is a guy named John Scungieli. John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike! Hey, Mike, they won't give you a reservation. I'll bust their n- let you. You name any restaurant over there. You let me know where I'll go in there. Bust and it'll let you in.
Aaron in Las Vegas, welcome to the Savage Nation.
How you doing, Mike? Hey, I have some friends that are in the journalistic and media community, and they do lots of reviews on events that happen in Vegas as well as restaurants. And so I'm thinking that I might be able to pull a rabbit out of a hat and make sure that you get a nice Italian dinner Saturday night.
Yeah, look, I got a press pass. I got to tell you, I have a legitimate press card, and all I'm looking for is a paid meal here. I'm not looking for them to pay for me. You can't get in a restaurant Saturday night, Aaron, right?
I think the Triple George would be a really good place for you. Have you heard?
All right, we got someone on line five named Rossi. Hold, Aaron, stay on the line. Don't go away. Give me Rossi. Mr. Rossi, go ahead, please.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hi, Mr. Michael.
Yes, sir.
My name is Razi Sakoi, calling from Portland, Oregon. And I made a reservation for you in the Zaffarini Hotel. Know how big is the party, so I made it for five people on the night of the fight at 9:30. Is that cool for you?
Yeah, what restaurant, sir?
Zaffarini Restaurant.
And which hotel is in?
The Venetian Hotel. I stood there before. I love the place. So I ate at that restaurant. So I called. I was listening to your show, and I love your show, by the way.
Thank you. So you don't know the folks there, do you?
No, I did before, but I don't know anybody in particular. I just called, and I made the reservation, confirmed it. And I was
amazing. You were able to get the reservation right off the bat?
Absolutely, yes. I called 411, got the information. You know,
unbelievable. Rossi, let me send you a free copy of the Political Zoo for being so nice to me. Thank you, Rossi. I don't know if I'll be out of there by 9:30. And I don't know when the fight's going to be over. I have no idea. And you got to try to – you can't even believe trying to get out of that hotel. That's the frightening part. See, it's the one thing I don't like is after these events are over in Vegas, it's like 12 million people. You can't get out of the place. Your limo's waiting. You can't get to your own car. It's like the Godfather leaving Cuba after Batista fell. It's exactly like that. You walk out, there's 5,000 cars. Your driver is like stuck 15 blocks away. Everyone's putting on a show of, like, how important they are. It's unbelievable. And it's like, Frito, I love you. Frito, I love you. I'm your brother. And no, everyone's going in other directions. You can't get near your car. And you wind up, no, Michael, you're going to kill me. And you got to, like, run down the highway there to get out of there. Todd in Las Vegas, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Listen, I run the front door of Town Nightclub and Asian Bistro in the Venetian Hotel, and I'd like to invite you in for dinner.
Oh, my God. Now, there's a four cherries came up on the thing, man. How do we do this, Todd?
Well, I'll tell you what. You give me a time. I'm assuming you're going to go to the fight, so you're going to come in a little bit later. But,
right. As I say, we don't know when the fight's going to be over. God forbid one of them gets knocked out. Then try to get your car, blah, blah, blah. Todd, what place do you run?
Tao Asian Bistro and Nightclub in the Venetian Hotel.
Right. And so where would you like, which restaurant are you suggesting?
Say again?
Oh, your restaurant.
We're a restaurant and a nightclub. We're 60,000 square feet.
I love it. I think I've eaten there. Todd, would you please stay on the line and give your email or phone to these fellas? I will call you the minute I'm off the air. I would love this. See, this is what I'm talking about. That's the power of the radio. You don't know how happy this makes me. I do. I love this. I'm going to lie to you. See, if I did this and made believe I was, I'm very happy now because I know I'm going to be treated well.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
That there were more than 24 hours in the day. Not even if there were 40 more.
All right, welcome to the Savage Nation. God, poor Elvis. Poor Elvis, what he looked like in his last years. What happens to a man as time goes on, you don't want to know about it. The hair that comes out of your ears and on your back and on your hands, you were a handsome young man. You look at yourself in the mirror, you feel like the hairy ape invaded your bedroom. That's God's little joke on men. The hair, why does it come out of your ears? You lose it on your head and it comes out of your ears. It doesn't make sense to me. As a man gets older, why does the hair grow out of his ears and nostrils and fall off his head? I'll never figure it out. I don't understand the natural selection part of that one. You'd think you'd need more hair on your head as you got older and less hair on your nose and ears, I mean, at a certain point. But no, nature has its own genetic ideas about what you need. You need less hair on your head and you need more on your back. And on the back of your hands, you need more hair. Remember the deli owners in New York? They were frightening when you were a kid, you know. They had such hairy, not forearms. I did the when Pasta was Spaghetti poem about the Italians on Mulberry Street with the hairy forearms. No, I'm talking about the Jewish guys in the delis. They always had hair on the back of their mitts. How does hair get there? What do you need that for? But what am I talking about here? I'm going to Las Vegas on a high-carbon citation to see the fight. Last minute thing. I'm going to pass up a seat like this. No, I'm not going to pass up a seat like this. And to top it off, I'm bringing my attorney, Danny Horowitz. He's coming with me. That's in case I run into John McCain or Harry Reid at the fight. I got to ask Dan what I can say to them without winding up with a lawsuit. I'm living in a new world now. I'm afraid to say a word to anybody. I'm not afraid to say a word to anybody. Trust me. I watch what I say to people. I'm not afraid to say what I mean, certain people, you don't want to say anything about scamorza cheese, you know. You don't want to say scamorza is better than mozzarella. But I, you know, it's funny. The news that came out is so shocking in the last hour. Left-wing big mouth indicted on child porn right here in the Bay Area. I mean, this guy wasn't a liberal, okay? This guy was an over-the-wall hater of everything that you and I believe in. Everything. And hates the police, hates the military, night after night on radio, ripping the San Francisco Police Department to shreds, ripping even the Catholic Church of which he was ordained into peace. And here is this poor man taken into federal court today on two counts of child pornography using the internet, blah, blah, blah. It's on michaelsavage.com, and it's all over the Drudge Report. I didn't find the story. He did. Unbelievable. And then I put out that I'm going to Vegas for the fight, and I need a reservation. And now a bunch of good guys call me. In fact, the best call we got to date was the guy Aaron who – it's Aaron, right? Did I have that right? Todd, sorry. Todd, who is the owner, manager of the Asian Bistro and Tao Nightclub in the Venetian Hotel, has invited myself and my friends to dinner. I'm going to go there. That's all. I'm sure there's Italian in there. Even though it's called the Asian Bistro, I guarantee I get spaghetti and meatball. John, I mean, I'm just kidding you. Whatever's in there, I'll eat a shrimp. It doesn't matter to me. Which boxer? Portland, Oregon. Izzy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael.
Michael. I just wanted to find out. I have not heard who you're rooting for this weekend.
I got to root for Hatton because he's the underdog. I mean, Mayweather's, as we heard yesterday from an odds better in Vegas. It's a 2-4 to 1 for Mayweather, who is definitely the favorite. Okay, and it's not that Hatton is the white guy and I'm white. I very often will root for a black guy in a fight. I'm rooting for Hatton because he's the underdog, and I like underdogs, so I'm rooting for Hatton.
Great. I like that. I like to hear that. Plus, he's from Britain, and he likes
to... Oh, I can't wait to see those guys with the big teeth rooting for him. They go crazy. The English, when they root, they really do it like, whoa, you know what I mean? They scream and they yell. It's like an English movie. It's like a black-and-white English movie from the 50s with these guys. I can't wait to see them. I hope they're not behind me because I don't like the beer on my suit. That's the one problem. Las Vegas, Nevada. Kathleen, welcome to the Savage Nation.
How's it going, Michael?
Hiya.
I want to let you know that Casa de Amore Italian restaurant, we were somebody that's a restaurant owner there in San Diego called us up and let us know that you were looking for a good place for a good Italian meal in Las Vegas.
Yes.
And, we have the best food in Las Vegas. You can.
Okay, you know, I'm taking these. Where are you located, Kathleen?
Located at 2850 East Tropicana. We have a limousine that'll come and pick you up. Bring you.
Whoa.
Back.
Now there's going to be competition for me. But, Kathleen, you're off the strip, in other words.
Yes, we're off the strip, but we have a limo that'll come and pick you up, no charge. We'll take you back. We have wonderful live entertainment, jazz and standards. People come here for the food.
Oh, my God. That sounds like, what is it, like a nightclub Italian restaurant?
It's a very old-school supper club, Vegas, the way it used to be.
Oh, the Dean Martin era.
We got some great pictures of the sands, the dunes.
Oh, so like, where are you? Are you the restaurant located out on the road to, like I talked about, public radio, public the college?
Well, we're pretty close to UNLV. Yeah.
You don't have the sign above your restaurant which roots for a team from Ohio, do you?
No, sir.
I'm joking. No, there is such a restaurant with. I said the mozzarella cheese still smells like mozzarella cheese. I loved it. What kind of cuisine do you have, Kathleen? No, but I mean, what style Italian do you have?
Wow, what do you want? I mean,
are you northern, southern? What kind of Italian?
You know, we're a very traditional Italian. We have a frutti di mare. We have a wonderful.
Oh, okay, so if I order a meal, it's not going to be minimalist cuisine by some freakazoid from the San Francisco School of Non-Cooking.
Oh, hell no. We got homemade lasagna.
So it's going to be like a woman or a guy who really has recipes back there with real meat sauce.
Osso buco, we got veal.
I don't have to say bolognese. I just say meat sauce, and they'll know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. You want meat sauce?
Yeah.
You want gravy?
Most of the bolognese is bologna-easy. I'll tell you what it is today. It's bologna-easy. I say meat sauce. They know meat sauce in a real Italian restaurant. You say bolognese, you're getting bologna-easy.
You're absolutely right.
Kathleen, I love it. You're the manager?
Yes, I am.
Oh, this is even getting better. Now we got a competition going. I got to stay in Vegas now and eat in all these good places. So your restaurant is Casa d'Amore.
Uh-huh. House of Love.
Okay, Kathleen, would you do me a favor, please? Stay on the line, darling. Give us your address. I'll call you after the show. I'll make an arrangement to come in and have a real Italian meal. Mozzarella. Frank in Chicago, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, sir? Go ahead, please.
Hey, Uncle Mike. When you spoke to that pizza earlier, there
yes.
wasn't mozzarella what you had on it.
I'm talking early 50s, Pennsylvania, stank like vomit. What was it?
Provolone. Provolone smelled like somebody's feet when you cooked it.
You mean in those days? In those days, you mean?
Well, again, yeah, you're absolutely right, like always.
No, because I get provolone now. The dogs love it more than any other cheese. I'm not trying to knock it. I happen to like it because it has a nice flavor, but it doesn't have that smell of fresh vomit.
It's not strong. Nothing is that way anymore.
Well, I'm not saying I like the smell of fresh vomit. I couldn't understand how anything that smelled like sneakers would be people hanging around a box and staring at it. It's provolone. 1-800-449-8255. Here are the headlines. Left-wing big mouth indicted on child porn. White woman beaten by 9 students on a Baltimore bus. Was this a hate crime? No, because she was white and they were not white. Boston. Firefighter stabbed and attacked by pack of 6 Hispanics. They said to him, we don't want a gringo here. Not a hate crime, though, because he was white. And as you well know, whites can only perpetrate hate crimes, according to the twisted world that we're living in. Alice in Wonderland. I'll be right back.
Savage.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine,
it is the Savage Nation. I am happy now because I know I'm going to have a good meal Saturday night. My mother was right. It's all about Italian or Chinese. That's the basic truth. Turkey isn't bad either. Could you play Dean for a minute? One more second. That's all, please.
Hearts will play, tippy, tippy, tippy.
I'll give him my picture, an 8x11. Me in front of the microphone. I'll be next to Dean Martin. I told you I had a fan. I'm going to work a club in Vegas at the end. The end of the day. If Don Rickles could work at night at age 97, I still have many years to go. I could bring in thousands of people a night. Thousands of people a night. But the libs own the whole booking thing. That's why they don't turn it off already. It's schmaltzy. Let's talk about food. Oh, well, no, this is a good, here's a political call. Greg in Palm Beach, Florida. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Greg. Yes, sir. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. Happy holidays to you, first of all.
Yes, sir.
I'm a member of a group called the World Affairs Council of Palm Beach. I just went to a very nice lecture by a guy, given by a guy named Steve Emerson. You know this
wonderful
guy?
Man, wonderful man, wonderful man. And what did you learn?
How the Muslim, the Islamic radicalists hold themselves out as victims, why and how the FBI's hands are tied, so on and so forth. But what was interesting to me and the reason I'm calling is at the end of it, he talked about ways that they are shutting down the media, and your name specifically came up, this care threat.
I see. Well, I'd love to meet you guys the next time I'm in Florida, Greg. I really would. So the next time I mention I'm coming to the area, I'll ask you to call and I'll come say hello. How's that?
World Affairs Council, we'd love to have you.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it very much. But to get a nickel out of anyone, forget it. I'm joking, not them. But I found a lot of people, they say they want to help, but they don't send 10. How would it hurt people who know me to send $5? I don't understand it. People know I'm a generous guy. It's not that I need the money. I need the emotional support. You want me to be very clear? I need the love, okay? That's what I need right now. And they don't send a dollar. People I bought drinks, dinners, suddenly they're gone. Gone with the wind. But I'm not going to complain because it starts to sound, I'll go after the fight. So I have to be picked up at the MGM, though. That's going to be the fun part. If they send a limo from Casa de More, I love that name, House of Love. Was that always a restaurant? I wonder. Las Vegas, Julie, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi there, Michael. I live in Las Vegas, and you must eat there. It's the only Italian restaurant in town.
Well, how about Piero's? I've eaten there, and I like it very much. Which is better?
That's good, but Casa de Amore is like the fella said previous. It's like an old Vegas restaurant where the, broken noses go. It's great.
then the food has got to be good. My nose is not broken, so I hope they'll serve me. Julie, thanks for the tip. And the Asian Bistro, Dow Nightclub, the Venetian Hotel, he was real nice. He called me. I'm going to stop in there and say hello. Do you mind that I'm talking about food? I know people are getting offended now, like how dare he indulge himself, blah, blah, blah. This is a radio talk show. Get back to work. Mike, stick to politics. We don't want to hear any more about your food. This is disgusting. Talk about that slob who was caught with child porn. Get back to work, whatever you do. KNEW, San Francisco. Joe, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike. Every year there's a gay pride parade in San Francisco, and Pelosi's there, Newsom's there, Boxer's there. And NAMBLA's marching in it, too, so it doesn't surprise me that their biggest cheerleader got caught doing this, and maybe they'll make him the Grand Marshal next year.
Oh, in leather, while out on parole. Don't you find it shocking, though, Joe, and kind of disgusting?
The man is disgusting. If anybody's heard his show, he's so anti-America and anti-Bush. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, but here's the difference. I criticize President Bush, I hope in a positive way. The others criticize him for whatever he does in a negative way. For example, this week, I supported President Bush and Dick Cheney for the first time in a long while in their struggle to make America know the danger we're in with regard to Iran. And I told you over and over again, this latest intelligence is fake. And I proved to you beyond a reasonable doubt that the guy behind it, Mr. Finger, made it up, because for 5 years he said Iran was on a path to developing a nuclear weapon. Then all of a sudden, overnight, because Hillary told him what to do, or someone in the DNC said we need a new campaign because Iraq's not working, because things are going too well, suddenly, Bing, Iran hasn't been on a path for a nuclear weapon for 5 years. How can you believe that garbage? You know, so I said, this leaves Bush and Cheney in a pretty hard place. They're going to have to go it alone with Iran. But the real losers here are Israel. I'll tell you right now, they're in a real quandary. They are in a really bad quandary. And you could start, you know, slinging mud here. I'm not a big fan of Olmert. I think he should be thrown out. But I don't know who's better than Olmert. I don't know who's there. Netanyahu? Netanyahu, I heard, gave away more land than Olmert did. So I don't know what's going on. Savage scampi recipe is no good. Wait a minute. Charlie, welcome to the Savage Nation. Whose scampi recipe? Mine?
Yeah. I think you should use butter in it.
You know, I hate butter. I don't like butter. I don't like the taste of butter.
Stuff. I tell you, I eat scampi like that. I make it myself. I love it because I make it real.
All right. See, everyone has a different thing. I'm on a low-fat diet. I have been for 30 years. That's why I'm still living. But everyone to each his own. You want to clog your arteries? Go ahead. But, you know, it's not – look, the fact is there's a lot of mythology about arteries and clogging and fats. And I have been one of the I have long known that it's the amount of fat that oxidizes in your arteries rather than the amount of fat you're eating. And some people will oxidize fats, others won't. Or you can be eating high antioxidant foods and or take supplements which are antioxidant, which will prevent the fat from oxidizing and causing the occlusion. And then there are people who are just not oxidizers. My mother, God rest her soul, ate very heavy food all her life, lived to 88. My dad ate the same diet, and God rest his soul, he died at 57. So, you know, what are you going to do? You have to hedge your bet. I don't like the taste of butter. I won't eat it anymore. I can't stand it. I use olive oil, and the only olive oil I use is Spanish. Would you believe it? I know people say, what? Oh, I've loved Spanish olive oil for years. And I loved it since I lived in Spain, in Mallorca. Oh, you don't know about that. I never told you Mallorca stories. Oh, that opens up a whole chapter now. I forgot about Mallorca. Oh, yeah, Arenal de Mallorca, the motor scooter I traded for the painting I have in my garage. I forgot about that. Where is that artist today? He needed the motor scooter. I needed the painting. I have it in the garage still, years later. The painting's amazing. It's a large oil. The artist was English. Jay Ash. No, I don't know his name. I forgot. It's on the painting. I have to look it up. And the picture is of a man whose head is partially bald in a suit floating above the ground with a woman in a red bathrobe hectoring him with a finger, yelling at him, just henpecking him, yelling at him. And above him is a picture of him as a younger man floating up to heaven, sort of above the picture in a suit and tie. For some reason, I thought there was my future. I said, there goes my future. I was 20 years old. You know what I'm saying? I love this picture. I keep it next to the exhaust fumes in case I want to turn the engine on.
Savage.
You know, I needed a day like today. I'm having so much fun on the show. It's frightening. This is what radio really should be like. A little politics, a little humor, a little personal, you know, up, down. It's a fun day for me. I didn't think I had this energy. This is the beauty of talk radio. Some days I don't want to do it anymore. Some days I want to disappear into the ethers. And some days I know I just want to keep doing this forever. And this is one of those great days. And it's all because of one thing. It's you, the audience. I swear to you. Like when I said I need a reservation in Vegas, so I didn't get it right away. Now I got these great people offering me limos, come to the restaurant. You don't know how important this is to me. And I mean right now at this time in my life. It's not that I can't afford a meal. I insist on paying where I go. I don't want anything for free. I just want to meet new friends, you know, in the business that's so important to me, which is the food business. Steven, San Diego, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Oh, Michael, you know, I love your show. I'm a new listener. I started listening to your show the week of the fires here in San Diego. And let me tell you something. I have learned more from you and from your show than I've learned in a lifetime. And
wow.
You're talking about food because, you know what, food is very powerful. And there's not one person out there that doesn't like food. So continue talking about food. I particularly liked your show last Thursday night, and you had me laughing
when you were talking about the leaf blower guy looking in your window, and you were talking about your maid, no matter how many times you tell her to fix the chairs or put the chairs the right way.
She'll turn him the wrong way. I feel like I've been burgled. Every time this woman finishes cleaning the house, it's like a picture slightly askew. The chair is not squared off. Everything is slightly off. It's like a madhouse.
Why don't they get it? And I was the one that sent you the email regarding that. And I also wanted to include that the headline of your show should be the more you listen, the more you learn. Not the more you listen, the more you know. Because, again, you have taught me so much. And I have.
Well, that means a lot to me, Stephen. I really appreciate that. I'm still fundamentally a teacher. And thank you for laughing and learning with the Savage Nation. Now, I got another thing to tell you, and I'm not going to mention who. As you know, I've been burned by the press over and over and over again. Every time I've said yes to them and they pretend they're going to do the right thing by me, they try to make me into something I'm not and screw me. But here I go again. I'm that kind of guy. On Monday, and I'm not going to mention the name, a major league reporter from the New York Times is coming out to sit in on one of my shows. He said, I want to do a profile on you. I said, here we go again. And I said, look, I know what you're going to do. He says, no, I'm not going to do it. I said, all right, I've heard this before. I had the guy come out from the London Times like 3 years ago, told me he just wasn't doing a hit piece. He went back. I mean, if the guy wanted to write a piece on Hitler's son, it couldn't have been worse than what he did to me, that bum. He didn't have to do what he did. He had an agenda. No matter what I said, he omitted it. And he painted me in the darkest. Same thing from a local creep here. My best friend, then he published a piece that wasn't me. He didn't ask one person who liked me. Not one person he liked me did he interview, this rat here. And all the time he was my friend, but I said, you know, the New York Times may be a little different. And I looked up this fellow's article. Sure, he's not my friend. He said so right on the air. He said, I don't want to deceive you. I'm not your friend. I said, I know that. I don't expect you to be my friend. I said, just be a journalist. He said, I have one rule. I said, what's that? He said, leave me out of the show. I said, I will. I'm not going to say like, I'm not going to blindside him and say, hey, I'm sitting here with Joe. But I won't do that. I absolutely won't do it. I've asked him a certain few things that I want, and we'll see. So that's Monday. I'm sure the piece will come out and I won't be happy, but that's the nature of the game. I'm sure that Pinchy Sulzberg is not happy with my depiction of him and his newspaper. So, you know, here's the reason I'm doing it. You say, oh, you're an egomaniac. You can't resist the attention. No, that's not really it. This article is going to be written about me anyway. This article's going to be written about me anyway in the New York Times. It's going to be a major article. I figure I have a better chance of presenting my viewpoint in person when the people see my humanity and they look on the wall and they see all my degrees and they see all of the things I've done in my life, in my studio. It changes the view of the voice they hear in their speaker. So I'm gambling. That's all. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com has virtually all the stories I've touched on, including, you know, the big one here in the Bay Area. It's going to be a national story by tomorrow, except in the New York Times. Left-wing big mouth indicted on child porn. The reason that's a big story is because we've had so many conservatives caught in restrooms that it became, you know, laughing, like a stock and trade of jokes. Mr. Family Values caught, you know, in the wide stance. Well, what do you say now about a left-wing progressive, father of four, who was arrested by the FBI for downloading and transferring child porn? I mean, what do you say about that? Tell me what you say about it. Well, what I say is he's innocent until proven guilty. Maybe he was set up. His lawyer, though, to me, looks like the lawyer's made a big mistake already. You know, there's nothing worse than a bad lawyer. I got to tell you that right now. As you well know, you know, only a fool would treat himself for an illness. I think only a fool would be his own lawyer. But a bigger fool would hire a lawyer who's not great. Case like this, you gotta pull out all the stops and get the absolute best lawyer and shut your mouth. Because the lawyer in the article that I just read, I can't find the darn thing, but this talk show host, progressive, former Catholic priest, arrested and indicted on child porn, blah, blah, blah. The lawyer says he was doing research for a book. Well, how then do you explain that if the man was researching child pornography, how do you explain that he transferred it to another person? If you're researching a book, why would you transfer it? That's the one thing I don't understand. In other words, you could understand that he was researching a book. I could accept that. But not when you transfer a file to somebody, a child porn file. Why would you transfer it if you're researching a book? And here's another thing I don't understand about these people who engage in this sort of thing. Why do they share these files. What is it about child pornographers or people who, excuse me, indulge in this that makes them almost compulsively send it to another person and say, look what I found? Why do they do that? Is there a psychologist in the house? Otherwise, I'm going to talk about food, Chinese versus Italian. I'm going to go back to Mama. Mama said there'd be days like this. It's going to be late, though. It's a late meal. So what? The fight starts 8, depending upon the preliminaries. Then it'll go till, what, 9? Till I'm out of there in the crowd. Till what? Till when? Till the limo. Till I can, find Frito in the mob taking me out of Havana. I won't get to the restaurant till 9:30, 10. Then it's going to be a hello. That's so late for me, you have no idea. But it's Vegas. They say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I hope they don't mean food as well, because that means I won't. KNEW, Elliot, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I used to be a regular caller on the Bernie show. And he had a show on Sunday morning, something he called the God Show.
Yeah, and he used to blaspheme the Catholic Church and God all the time.
The never met a leftist lie that he didn't like and expand on. I remember getting an argument with him over gun rights, and somehow, you know, he did his radio guy thing, and he tried to corner me into a yes and no answer. So after I answered a certain way, he could call me a bigot. Finally, I started yelling at him. I don't remember how the conversation went, but finally, at one point, I started yelling at him. And you would let child molesters out of jail? And I say things, you have to make a list. Child molesters, murderers out of jail. And
what?
Funny.
And what he said? He said yes?
Well, it was just something I just said to him over the air a couple of times. Child molesters.
All right. And what did he say about child molesters, though, Elliot?
Well, eventually he hung up on me and called me some racist bigot,
I see, yeah. That's their standard operating procedure. Well, we'll see when he winds up on his feet, whether it's true or false. Florida, Jeff, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, Michael, God bless you for your work. And I'm a retired holistic physician out here in Northeast Florida. I had a radio show downstream of you for a couple of years. But I had to go low profile because I want to tell you I'm voting for you to go to the Asian buffet or the Asian restaurant in Las Vegas, and I'm going to tell you why. You talk about the homosexualization of America. You talk about, I'm a neurologist and a psychiatrist, retired. Why are these people looking at porn? Why are they passing porn? Why are men becoming effeminate in this country?
Because they're not eating enough Italian food.
Well, unfortunately,
they're not eating heavy food. No, I'm joking. Go on with your idea.
They need heavy foods, but they need it to be without all the steroids, without all the pesticides, without all the toxic chemicals.
I hear what you're saying. You're saying that foods that are full of hormones are feminizing men. Isn't that what you're arguing?
Right. Research done at the University of Florida already showed that our poor alligators were being born without you-know-whats because there's so much estrogen-like pesticides in our food supply.
Oh, Mike, even alligators were being born like liberals?
Exactly. Exactly. And you and I have so much in common. I've been reading through most of your books. I started out working in the pharmacy, the whole nine yards.
Oh, my God. So are you a retired psychiatrist, Jeff?
Retired neurology and psychiatry, but what I really spent my time...
Wait. This is interesting. Where'd you go to medical school?
Pennsylvania State University College of Medicine, Hershey, Pennsylvania.
That was a great, great school. You were a smart kid, right? I mean, you knew what you were doing from the beginning.
I was much smarter than that. I went to Benjamin Franklin School undergraduate, University of Pennsylvania. And you know what I learned, Michael? I learned I needed to listen with respect to everyone and never become an egomaniac and keep an open mind. And while you were traveling around the world collecting plants, I was learning everything I could about Chinese medicine and chiropractic and organic farming and hanging out with those people. And I'm telling you that after World War II, when these German chemical companies took over in combination with all these oil companies, took over our economy, and I want you to know I'm a conservative Republican now. Mm-hmm. When they took over and started feeding our population all these steroids in the meat and all these xenoestrogens and pesticides, the only reason I'm calling tonight, Michael, is that you're one of the last voices on the radio left from an era when people weren't being poisoned by all these foods. The poor.
That's funny. Now. That's really fun. That's an amazing story. What you're saying is that in the age that I grew up, in the formative years that my brain was being laid down, the foods were not laden with the chemicals. Isn't that what you're saying?
Exactly. An Italian man had to have the courage to say wheat is so full of pesticides now, he had to tell his Italian family to stop eating the pasta and switch over to rice. He wrote a book called Eat Right for Your Type. It has to do with your blood type, your immune system.
Well, but you see, there's a here's where you and I digress a little, Jeff. I come from the holistic medical background in the PhD side from University of California at Berkeley, as you know. The problem is that when you get so rarefied in your dietary needs, I think that's another form of extremism, the rarefication. For example, let me give you an example. A lot of people will only give their dogs bottled water. I think it's ludicrous. You know, you at a certain point, you got to drink a little tap water and give your dog a little tap water. You're not going to die from it in every community in America. And moreover, your body has to get used to it. I was talking yesterday, wasn't I, about the strength of the Ukrainian athletes, particularly the boxers. These guys grew up on virtually poisonous food in the Ukraine, and they're strong as iron. So I'm not so sure that rarefied diets necessarily are the only way to go, Jeff.
You're talking to a Ukrainian Jew with a Ukrainian wife fresh over from Ukraine 5 years ago. The Ukrainian soil is full of...
What, and she hasn't killed you yet?
She tried to kill me 2 years ago, but we're both Jewish Christians, so we decided to give it another shot. Now we've got a beautiful baby. Because
wait a minute. So you're 55 and she's 25?
Huh?
She's 25 and you're 55?
I'm 51, she's 30.
Well, I wasn't too far off. I knew it, and you're still breathing?
I'm still breathing. I got three kids.
Well, you must be eating something right, Jeff.
Because I know your family goes back to the Ukraine. That's why you're so smart.
Well, no, they don't. Why, is Minsk in the Ukraine?
It's all the same. It's all volcanic rock, good food, no pesticides.
Hey, let me tell you something. I don't think they're Ukrainians, but, you know, the food that my ancestors ate was pretty poor. They lived on grains. They had very little meat. They were very poor for centuries. Maybe that's what made them smart and strong. You know, one of the food staples of that area for a long period of time was called buckwheat. You know that or not?
Yes.
I love buckwheat. You can't find it. Can you find buckwheat today? You know, you talk about Asian food. One of my favorite Japanese soups is a soup made with buckwheat noodles. For the $24 question, what's the name of that soup?
Miso.
No, not miso soup. You're the expert, you see. There's a noodle made of buckwheat that is served in a certain Japanese soup that's very hard to find. It's soba. Soba is very hard to find in America, properly cooked, but the buckwheat noodle is worth getting. Anyway, Jeff, thank you. I appreciate it. I really do. What a great caller. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I like my mama's food. It's so good to me. Her meatballs have the spice that make them taste so nice.
Yeah. All right, thank you, guys. Thank you. I don't go for the corny music, but tonight I'm in a crazy mood because... A local station has a guy on it named Bernie Ward. The guy has spent 15 years bashing me because he's a jealous fat slob, talentless, jealous, fat leftist slob. He's been indicted on federal child pornography charges. Now, I hope he's innocent, but listen to what Ward's attorney, Doran Weinberg, has said today, because this is a shocker. According to lawyer Weinberg, Ward was exploring, quote, hypocrisy in America, close quote, and decided to look at child porn, how it's acquired and hidden from society. As part of the research for the book, the lawyer says Ward acquired several images of child porn from websites and, quote, now listen to this, he exchanged them with adults who do the same thing. That's the end of the story for me. I could see, from my point of view, that he could have been researching a book. I could even say maybe it was accidentally downloaded from a regular porn site. But why would he have exchanged child pornography images with adults who do the same thing? Something's wrong with that picture, and I'll let it go with that. A man is innocent until proven guilty. Except in my case, of course, where I'm guilty even though I'm innocent, according to the left-wing media. Michael Savage is the only exception. Any conservative, for that matter, is the exception. We're all guilty just for being born. We have original sin. All conservatives in the media have original sin to those in the media who are not conservatives. You know, So that's that. This is this. And I'm also talking about the fact that the fight's coming up Saturday, the last minute I decided to accept the offer and go. And then I asked some folks in Vegas if they were listening to offer me a restaurant reservation, because you really can't get in on a Saturday night to begin with. But on a fight night, you don't even want to know what it's like to get a reservation. And I was very lucky that I had two wonderful people call me and invite me to their places. And I'm going to try to go to both of them. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, that's what I got to do now, is I got to go to both. I'll go to one for lunch, one for dinner, and I'll plug them again on Monday. Because even if they're not great, they're going to be great. Because I want to go back there, and it's Las Vegas. And especially the place where the guys have the bent noses, you have to say the food's good, if you know what I'm saying. I'm sure it's going to be good. It's just the kind of food I like. But I want a 1997 Sangiovese. That's all I want. If I could find that, then it's heaven. A 97 Sangiovese, forget about it. They're hard to find. I'm drinking more red. Drinking more red now that I'm getting older. I like the red more. Well, last night with the turkey, though, I had a Sauvignon Blanc that was just great. Only a minor headache, a light one. The tryptophan and the wine, somehow, but it was good. I made a gravy. You wouldn't believe it. Oh, did I make a stuffing? Did I tell you how I made a stuffing, my own stuffing? You won't believe this one. I had five bagels from the other day that were like, okay, I made breadcrumbs out of bagels. They make the best stuffing. You can't believe it. I cut my finger cutting the bagel because they were so hard. I gave my finger almost a slice off. It's in a Band-Aid right now. Lucky I cut it before the actual flesh came off the hand, like with a paring knife. I cubed it. Olive oil. Okay, not butter, but the other stuff. Light and fluffy, feminized, whatever. onion and the parsley, right. Parsley's critical. You get that going, you know, make sure it's not brown, though. And you have enough oil that you put in the breadcrumbs, 5 cups of breadcrumbs, a lot of breadcrumb. Right. Then you put that in the more spices and a little salt and a little pepper. And you make sure everything is mixed in the oil and all over the bread, the bagel, whatever. And then you put it back in the refrigerator till your turkey's ready to go. And you put it in the cavity, but you don't stuff it too far because it'll expand. The dogs love the stuffing. Now, there's another thing I did on the side because I can't wait for a meal to be done if it's hours later. I took the neck, the gizzard, and some other parts, and I pan fry them. And then I threw the leftover stuffing that wasn't cooked in there. And wow, that was already fast in 30 minutes. The dogs went crazy for that bread while I ate the neck. The problem is, I love the neck of a turkey because it reminds me of most of the professors I had at Queens College. But as I was eating the neck, I cracked a bone and it got stuck. I have to see the dentist now 9:30 in the morning tomorrow before Vegas to get this piece of bone, this shard of bone out of my gum. With God's will and your listenership, you shall go on MichaelSavage.com. I'll be back. Seven.